good evening and welcome everyone to this Christmas Eve service as we celebrate the first coming of our Lord, Savior and King, Jesus Christ, into this world to save us. A king was born this day in Bethlehem. Even though he was a king, he was a king of kings. He defied all human expectations in the way he chose to be born. No crown was worn, but angels worshipped him. He was the Almighty God, yet so meek, so mild. Our salvation came through this holy child. So let's all stand, let's rejoice and celebrate, for a king is born today.
Through 14, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Oh, was born on Christmas Day, and man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
So the Holy Bible says,
This baby boy came and changed the course of history. But most importantly, he changed the course of our destiny. Because of his birth and his saving work on the cross, we have a future in heaven for sure. I am so glad that my life was changed by a baby boy. I gave him room, and I'm not the same. My life was changed by a baby boy.
Joseph was looking for a place to sleep when his life was changed.
Life was changed by a baby boy.
And Mary had secrets that her heart must keep. You know, her life was
just changed by a baby boy.
Well, I hope the bright angels tell the shepherd then that their
life was changed by a baby boy.
The angel said, go, you know, they commanded
their life was changed.
John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Though he knew what love would cost, He made a way in a manger to make a way to the cross.
Oh,
Matthew 1, 22 through 23 says that the birth of Jesus by the Virgin Mary is to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The idea of God with us is the embodiment of all God's promises to Israel and to all who will trust in him. Through sacrifice and mercy, God makes a way to be with his people, all leading up to God's final act in Revelation 21:3, which says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God." Now, Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of this theme, both in his identification with humanity by becoming a man and by his death on the cross for sin. In this sense, the word Emmanuel truly does embody the meaning of Christmas. The birth of Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Messiah, and the Savior of all men, that has made a way for God to be with us. So rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel has come to us. So let's stand and sing together, O come, Emmanuel.
Some kind. In a moment, we're going to sing O Holy Night, which is a very appropriate song, I think, to end a Christmas Eve service. You either have to sing Silent Night or O Holy Night to end your Christmas Eve service. Well, guess what? We're going to do both of them tonight, which I think is a great idea. But you know, it didn't used to actually be that way. O Holy Night was written in 1853. And the reason it was written was because of a parish priest wanted to celebrate the fact that he had his organ refurbished. And so what he did was he hired a wine salesman who was also a poet by the name of Placido Capot. And what he did was he hired him to put together this little poem. Well, he then turned, Capot did, to a Jew, a fellow by the name of Adolf Adam, a non-believing Jew, and he had him put it to music. And so they sang the song until the Catholic Church found out who wrote the song and who put it to music. And as soon as they found out that it was written by a wine salesman, and then on top of that you had an unbelieving Jew put it to music, they tried to bury the song. The problem was, is the song had got out, and the French people absolutely adored the song. It was translated in 1855 by John Sullivan, and his last name was Dwight, John Sullivan Dwight. He translated the song into English so that we could sing it over here in America. Immediately, it was well received if you lived in the North. It was received if you lived in the North, not so much in the South, and that was because of a line that Dwight added. He was an ardent abolitionist, a Unitarian clergyman, and he added this line, "Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother." That was not popular in the South, but the Northerners loved it. And so pretty soon that song became a real hit up North, and then eventually was adopted in the South. On Christmas Eve in 1906, a fellow who was a chemist and also somebody who was a professor who had worked for Thomas Edison was finalizing his work on airwaves, the radio. And it was Christmas Eve, and he decided to test it out. Well, what do you do on Christmas Eve with all America having for the first time to hear a radio broadcast? He read from the Gospel of Luke. And then he picked up his violin and he played O Holy Night, the very first song that ever went across the airwaves in the United States of America was O Holy Night. O Holy Night's popularity has held firm because people like Mariah Carey, Nat King Cole, Celine Dion, Andre Bocelli have all had it on their hit albums. I mean, it's been part of the American experience when you think in terms of Christmas Eve. You just really hope people listen carefully to the words, though. You hope people carefully listen to the words because, see, the song starts out very majestically. O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It's the night of our dear Savior's birth. I mean, you start with this majesty, bright shining star. It's a glorious opening, and then soon it turns into Romans. And it turns into Romans because we get this line, long lay the world in sin and error pining. And immediately you think of Romans chapter 3, there's none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks for God. All have become useless. And then you get Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So this majestic sounding song immediately turns south and sour. The world is pining. It's grieving, it's hurting. It's because of sin. It's because of sin. But that all changes. And what brings about the change? Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Oh, we're sinners, all right. But you know what? We're worth it to God to send his son to this planet. And all of a sudden, there is a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. A thrill of hope. Well, why the hope? Well, because Jesus is born, the Savior is born. There's a thrill of hope because as we sing through this song, I want you to notice the different statements said about Jesus, the title he's given. It calls him our King. In fact, it calls him our King of Kings. It calls him the Lord. It calls him our friend, and it calls him our Savior. And that's why we have a thrill of hope. The King of Kings, our friend, our Savior, our Lord. And when we personally recognize that, when each one of us personally recognize him as our Savior, our Lord, that's when the thrill of hope changes our life and our eternity. You know, no wonder we're quickly commanded by even this secular wine salesman to fall on our knees. In the chorus, which you get repeated, the chorus is repeated three times, but each time there's a slight change in the wording. The first time, we're told, fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. And then the next chorus, behold your king, before him lowly bend. And then the final time the chorus appears, Christ is the Lord, oh, praise his name forever, his power and glory evermore proclaim. Falling on our knees, bending low before him, proclaiming praise. You know, that should remind us of a passage in Scripture. It should remind us of something that's going to happen to every single individual, person, angelic, demonic, and whatever, because every single one will bow down low. Everyone in creation will fall on their knee before the Lord Jesus and confess who he is. We get that in Philippians chapter 2. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You will bow down to him either in adoration and gladness and joy, or you will bow down simply because you have no choice. And you want to make sure when that day comes that you're bowing down with tears in your eyes with joy. Now we're going to sing O Holy Night. And as we sing O Holy Night, make sure you sing O Holy Night with a heart full of hope. Let's stand together and sing it.
Shining, it is the night.
those of you who would like to, feel free to go over to the coffee house. We have coffee and cocoa and cookies. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for your great love for us, that you would consider sending your son into this ugly, sinful world to save the likes of us. We know that we are sinful people. We know that we turned our backs on you. And we are so grateful that you did not turn your back on us. We thank you for sending Jesus to be born, which we are celebrating tonight and tomorrow, and that he was born for the purpose of growing up, explaining to us the Father, revealing to us the Father, and then being our Savior and eventually our High Priest. We thank you so much for him, and we acknowledge him and praise him for the glory he deserves. In his name we pray. Amen.